Well, I'm here with Dan on an exclusive podcast with just Dan and I, so which is, hasn't happened in a long time, if ever, right, Dan?
I don't think it has.
I think every time we've done this, either you've done it interviews alone or we've all done it together, or it's just been a real big group effort. Yeah.
Actually, I think the last time this might have happened, we did a rules discussion, and I don't know if we ever even released that.
Was that the Soporific Musk? Soporific?
Yeah, you are correct.
I think we did release that one.
Okay, well, that was not our best episode.
No, we have a few hit and misses, but I wanted to take this time to go over kind of the weekend events and. You know, cause you had a player perspective, and I tried to maintain that, at the Rumble, and I had the TO perspective. And so maybe I thought it'd be neat to have both of us to kind of talk on it and see what we thought overall.
Sounds like a great idea. And I think that's where we should actually start, Jeff. And the idea that, how did you feel about the event overall?
The event overall was pretty good. I think that it was more organized than last year. You're going to have hiccups in an event. I kind of knew where ours were going to be. I don't know, for some reason it still stressed me out. I'm sure some of our local guys could tell that for sure. But I think overall it was great. There's a couple aspects that went amazingly. There's a couple other ones that didn't. Couple of hiccups, but overall, to answer that one, I think it really, really well. Because usually you've in the past, you've really helped me with behind the scenes, and I think I only bothered you maybe once while you were in game, which is really good.
And I think I told you I had no.
No, you said it. You said it much more bluntly than that.
Well, I might have told you just to go away.
I think you did. You did tell me. You're like, go. You're gonna go away. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Go away. And I was like, you're right. I'm not even going to get upset about that. This is the first time I've came to talk to you about anything during the event. And from your perspective, how did it go overall?
I thought it went extremely well. I had one complaint, but that was minor, and I kind of expected it. And it was a little bit out of your control, but we'll come to that in a little bit. But overall, I thought it was spectacular. I had a blast playing my games. Everyone I talked to had a blast playing their games. And I didn't meet anyone that I didn't have fun with. So
yeah, it was awesome. Was your complaint, was that yours, or did you hear someone else's?
This is actually okay. My complaint, but I'll tell you about it. We'll come to it in a moment, but I wanted to, before we get too deep into it, could you give kind of the overview, like how many people did you have there, what all happened on the weekend, all that sort of stuff? That.
We had 38 people, so we had an even number show up. That was 40K, and we had 28 fantasy players. We had on Friday, I want to say 10 or more War Machine players, War Machine Hordes players. We had a handful of Malifaux, and I think we actually had, I didn't get a whole lot of chance to spend some time with the Flames of War, but Jeff Flint had, I want to say a few people show up to do demos for Flames of War. So, I definitely missed out on some of that. Like, I didn't spend a whole lot of time with the Flames of War. You know, I didn't spend a whole lot of time with the War Machine Hordes, you know, event. And I kind of regret that on a, just maybe, you know, even a personal level. But as far as like a TO, I don't know how much time David spent with them, but it just, I feel like looking back on it that I could have spent more time, you know, addressing those guys and their needs for the future and whatnot. So, but we had a lot of players. We had way more than last year. I was impressed. So we had a lot of people.
Who ended up winning?
Andrew Gardenhire got overall, he's from Tennessee. I can't remember which part of Tennessee, but you know, there is Andrew Gardenhire got overall, and Sean Williams, one of our Birmingham local guys, got best general, and Nick Helms, Tuscaloosa guy of your own area, got Battlemaster. And Tony Cook ended up with Best Painted, and Colin McCain, I think also from Tennessee, got Best Sportsmanship.
Very nice.
And the fantasy guys I have here, I won't bore you guys with that. But a great turnout overall. We actually had a lot of new people come, which is great because we got to a chance to either to show our capability or to not. So we'll see in the future how that turns out.
Well, quick question on that. Now, of course, you gave out the awards that you stated, but you gave out more than that, right?
That's true. We gave out, we followed, I had asked Shane from Dicehead, the ATC TO, if we could kind of go with his idea about giving all the faction awards and use basically the same medal. And he said yes. And so I talked to some of the guys in Tennessee and got that hooked up. We had some, actually had a logo made right at the last minute there and had that applied to the plaques and the medals. So we had everything. Was actually, I was just pretty impressed with the spread of armies. The only one we didn't have was Sisters of Battle.
Yeah. And which,
so, and we did.
Oh, I was going to say, in which they're supposed to be getting their new online codex, or I guess a PDF codex or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. We had we had one of each, and we also split up the Space Marine books as well. I know at ATC they didn't split those up, and I'm pretty sure he's probably going to do that next year. But yeah, we have a lot of awards. We had random awards. I think overall we gave out I want to say $1,500 in gift certificates for Static Age. But yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Very nice. Oh, Best Painting Award too, right?
Yeah, I went to mention that. Okay. That was to Tony Cook, which was, you know, awards are really strange to give out because you got two paradigms with that. You can go, hey, you know, I'm a blue ribbon kind of person where everybody gets a blue ribbon. You know, and some people like that, some people don't. And some people like the kind of brute force, you know, winner take all kind of deal. And I want to say a majority of the people want the awards to be spread around. So, you know, the painting, that's another topic we can cover too, but the painting was difficult to do. I didn't have enough people to do the painting. So I ended up picking the best four and kind of critiquing them amongst themselves. And that was between Nick Helms, Anthony Hinkle from Mississippi, Nick's from Tuscaloosa, and Tony Cook from Tennessee, and Andrew Gardenhire from Tennessee as well. And in the end, I ended up picking Andrew. So, you know, he's got the highest paint score, so naturally he should win Best Painted. But he also tied with Sean on battle points and went undefeated. Okay, so what do you do in that situation? You got two guys who deserve best general and battle master, essentially. You know, how do you split that up? So we looked at, you know, I started with best overall or Renaissance man, however you want to call that, and said, all right, well, it's clear that, you know, Andrew has best paint, you know, and best general or battle points, right? So that put him in best overall. Well, that kind of fixed it for Sean to get best general.
Right.
You know, he could have got battle master, but Nick didn't go undefeated. So it just made sense to give Sean best general. So that put Nick, who was third, I think, you know, as far as battle points, but technically second if you want to call Andrew and Sean a tie. So Nick got battle master. Well, since, you know, since we're a blue ribbon kind of event, you know, Andrew won painted, but he's already got a large, you know, one of the bigger awards. So that put Tony Cook for best painting. So, you know, I've been talking to a lot of the guys about renaming the awards because I think best implies too much. You know, when we want to give the awards out for to everybody, as many people as you can.
So if you were to do that, would you just call it the painting award or something like that and just drop the mess? I mean,
yeah, I think so. I think that we could do, you have a painting award or, you know, best in show, I think is what David said, which I like that a lot too. Best in show, we would do Battlemaster is pretty neat because you don't have to, it's not the highest. You know, when someone says best, they always think the highest, which is, I think, a natural thing to do, but. You know, what do you say, best general? What do you call that?
Speaking of best, what's your best armor save there, Jeff?
Yeah. It's not your best is a 2+, right? It's not your highest. Good job, Dan. Good job. But no, so that's the awards we gave out. And then we had some random, we had 5 random awards. You know, we got the Perkins Award. I don't know if we're going to do that every year, but that went to Todd Perkins. We give a little bit of shout-out to
the Perkins Award for being awesome.
Yeah, for being, I think it said cool. But we gave, you know, we threw some money for Todd for helping us, you know, get the terrain because we couldn't have done it without him. A lot of people, you know, help out with these kind of events, but, you know, Todd is one of the ones that there's no doubt in anybody's mind that if he didn't help that we couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's so very true.
You know, we got a lot of, comments about thanking us for, you know, recognizing him, but yeah, he's at a Tennessee Laughing Corps gaming, club. You know, he runs NashCon, the 40K portion. I think
maybe he's over too. All tournaments from what I understand now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he got upgraded now. There.
Okay.
Yeah, doubled his pay.
Doubled his pay. I'm sure he'll laugh at that if he gets to hear this. But yeah, the, you know, Historical Miniature Gaming Society, that's all those guys. And so we want to really send a shout out and a thanks for those guys. When they rolled out pretty hard with all their players. Yeah. So, but yeah, so that's the awards. It's always a difficult thing to do.
Well, cool. Well, I will say, Jeff, that I absolutely had a blast playing. I, as you know, I don't normally get to play at events that you run.
That's true. So. That's true. The which you got to help out from the very beginning, too, though. You got to load all those tabletops.
Yeah, there was no shortage of that, that's for sure. It was definitely started quite early, as in Thursday night.
Yeah, that was because you showed up at Dan's. Yep. I mean, not Dan's, but Will's, and we left Friday morning. We left early, earlier than I thought I would be there. But we left early and showed up at Low Mill. No, we went straight to David's house and picked up everything at once. Will was gracious enough to let us borrow his truck and his trailer, his work trailer. So,
and Will was also your head judge too. So,
yeah, Will was the head judge. I think that was so you could play. But we showed up at David's house, grabbed all the stuff. Why we didn't grab the painted toppers, I don't know. But we ended up painting. How many did you think we painted? Excuse me. How many did y'all paint?
Well, how many fantasy tables were there?
15.
Then that's how many we painted. Because we painted all the ones that were on the. We set up all the fantasy side, painted that side, and then we redistributed the tables after that. But
yeah, well, that all went really quick, faster than I thought. Oh. But yeah, so we showed up. We didn't have all the tables we needed. Somebody else at Low Mill was using them. So we knew we'd get some later on that night, but we knew we had open gaming. So that was a lot of fun, but somehow we ended up with a bunch of tables. You know, John from the Foundry brought some tables, you know, we brought some of our own, and, Who else? Static Age had some tables they brought. And I think the ones at Low Mill kind of trickled in afterwards. So
I don't know. I just knew I kept setting up tables all evening.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty tiring. So Friday we had all that stuff set up, ready to go. And they had a concert, you know. But everybody really, really liked the venue, kind of the art. What is it? Justin will laugh at this. The art mecca of the Southeast. So it's been claimed. Now,
the venue was very nice. It's not the prettiest looking thing. It's a Low Mill is actually it used to be a mill, surprise, surprise. But the air conditioning was spectacular in there.
Yeah, you would not think that at all to walk in there. You're going to go, oh, this is going to be miserable.
Yeah, exactly. You look at that place and you're like, oh, this is going to be rough. But, oh, man, it was air conditioned and it was open and like not crowded everywhere in there. Like I could move around. I felt like I could breathe. And anything to reduce gamer stink and make it – so I'm not quite so claustrophobic, makes me happy. So I was very happy with the.
Yeah, the gamer smell that travels. Yeah, we could have, we didn't sell out. We were at, what was it? We advertised 50 spots per system. But if we were to sell 50, I think we might have ended up being uncomfortable. You know, we ended up with more space than I thought. But I think if we pushed it any more, I mean, we could have definitely put up two or three or four more tables for sure without any kind of issue. But I really liked the way the layout ended up. So, you know, Hammer and Anvil wasn't too terrible, you know, because I think we had two of those, two Hammer and Anvils. But yeah, the venue was definitely cooled. It was actually well lit. I thought, you know, because we didn't get to see it at night before we secured the venue.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised that the lighting was as good as it was, because it did not look like it was going to be well lit, and it was just fine.
Yeah, because it had the high ceilings, and it had just the two bulbs and ballast, probably like every, 8 feet or something. But it, you know, it turned out really, really well, so I'm really impressed with that. But yeah, so Friday night went pretty well. I don't think we had any issues there. And then Saturday,
the only person that had any issues was Jake from SS40K, and that's just because I destroyed him.
That's that was a pickup game, right?
Yes, it was. And if you want to hear about that, do listen to our. They call us their sister podcast, so I guess they're the little sister after that beating.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah, that was pretty funny. I heard. Well, somebody else played Justin, didn't they?
I don't know. I didn't see Justin play, but
I thought Steven might have played Justin or.
Maybe. Oh no! During the tournament, I think Steven and Justin might have played.
Okay. Well, I thought. Okay, maybe. So you beat Jake, right?
Yes, I did.
And,
beat Jake.
And he was playing Dark. He was playing.
He's playing Chaos Demons.
No, he's playing Sisters. He had to have been playing Sisters because.
So that's your only explanation for that?
I don't know what he thought he was playing. I'll say that.
I don't know. What I do know is that about half his units were dead on before he went. So
yeah. Was that a seize roll or was that
it was a seize roll, and that's always bad for it's very bad when you're lined up in range of when you're lined up in line of sight and range of 9 broadsides, things tend to die.
Yeah, he was playing Flying Circus, right?
Yeah, Flying Circus. So
yeah,
poor Fate Weaver.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get to hear some of that on their podcast when they release. But yeah, so they had a couple pickup games. There was a couple guys. I don't think they were from Georgia. It was Rob Green and I can't remember the other guy's name for the life of me.
I know Rob was he's at Fort Benning, so.
Oh wow! Okay, that's Georgia area. So.
Yeah,
that's neat. Okay, but yeah, I had a couple pickup games, and then I think we went to the hotel and then came back. But did we do a recording Friday night with SS40K?
Yeah, the SS40K guys did a recording. That's right. I know that you were briefly in it. I know I was in it for a little bit. And if you want to hear from Will, there's a lot of that. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I don't know what they're going to cut out of that. Maybe nothing. Who knows? They have like a 3-hour podcast, 4-hour podcast.
Yeah, they recorded for quite a while that evening.
Yeah, because the SMG guys, the Southern Mississippi guys, came. They were there in full force. I think they brought like 5 people.
Yeah. And yeah, then, those are some awesome guys, by the way. They were a blast.
They were
amazing armies.
Yeah, Hinkle's army was just retarded. It didn't even make any sense. Like, because you see pictures of it or whatnot, and it had that grungy kind of battle worn. Like everything was battle worn. You know, that's kind of I like that. I like that style. You know, I like the clean style too. Like Andrew's is really, really clean. Clean lines. Great blending. You know, the colors and whatnot. It had some highlights to where it looked like things were just lit up. And then you had Hinkle's army, who was like battle worn.
Let's hold on for a moment there. When you say that they look like they're lit up, you mean that he actually had LEDs in one of his models. So.
So I'm saying they looked like they were lit up. But no, Hinkle's Imperial Fist. I know you probably had you drooling because.
Yeah, I'm jealous because my Imperial Fists are very poorly painted and Hinkle's are not. So.
Yeah, his are pretty awesome. And he had all those new, I think, what is it, the 30th?
Yeah, he's got
Millennia.
Yeah, he's got the 30K, like Horus Heresy armors and all that. It's very good looking.
Yeah, it was hard to choose them all, compete between them all. But yeah, the SMG guys showed up and they jumped in on the SS40K on-site kind of podcast. It was great to finally, you know, meet them and all their crew. They're just as nice in person as they are on the podcast and, you know, over Skype and whatnot too. So, pretty awesome. So everybody kind of got to jump on. I think they had software or hardware issues. Do you know?
I don't. I saw them recording video throughout the event, but I didn't hear anything about podcast stuff. So
I think Carl said something about, and I just heard this in passing, that his laptop died or something like that. I'm not sure. But they did have the video. I got to be part of a video blog. I think it was Sunday. I probably look like a fool, but I never done one of those before.
Well, Jeff, you always look like a fool, so
that's true. That's true. There's some Todd got some pretty epic pictures of everybody doing goofy things or looking goofy. So, but no. So we had Friday night we had SS40K guys, Jake and Justin. You know, Will was talking with them, and they all kind of sat down in a little corner over there, which was kind of neat. So, but I think that's about it for Friday. War Machine guys played. They said they had a blast, and they want a whole weekend spot. So, we'll see what we can do as far as space goes for next year. And then there was Saturday. So,
yeah, and Saturday was a lot of fun. Do you want me to? Do any sort of game recap or anything? Ooh, my voice.
You can. I mean, you can kind of talk about who you played and whatnot. Yeah. And, you know.
Actually, Jeff, can we do a pause for a moment? All right. So, first off, so I'm actually playing this. I'm playing Tau with Eldar Allies. And basically, my list has a couple of Riptides, a commander with radium armor and a pin chip. He's not fully decked out. He's getting and then he's got his two fusion blasters because I've been having some issues killing land raiders ever since they've existed. Jeff can vouch for me on that. On top of this, the other things I got 3 units of 10 man fire warriors, 2 units of 10 crew, each with a dog. 9 broadsides, all decked out with missiles. And then a farseer on a bike with a singing spear. And a unit of Eldar jet bikes. So that's what I'm running with. for the tournament. And my first opponent, because everything's great and wonderful, I get to play Andrew Gardenhire.
Yeah, I think I think Andrew played all the Alabama guys, didn't he?
Yes, he ran right through the Alabama players. Yeah. So Andrew was running a Tau Empire. He was running a Tau list, but he was running the Farsight Bomb, not the Farsight Codex, just the Farsight Bomb type list with a bunch of Crisis Suits. He had a couple of Riptides with the Ion on them, and then one unit of Broadsides with missiles, and then all the missile drones.
Yeah, it was kind of a mirror match, wasn't it?
Well, the big thing is that he's a lot more mobile than what I am. And I knew whoever had first turn would have a huge advantage because we could deploy up. And this one happened to be Hammer and Anvil, and which I love Hammer and Anvil normally, but when I'm facing my mirror match, it gets kind of ugly. So with my broadsides not being overly mobile, he was going to have first turn. And so I had to deploy all the way out of the range of where his Pathfinders could actually hit me and strip away my cover, because I figured that his Riptides would just decimate me. We went on, we played. I did not realize that Andrew has a complete inability to not overheat his Riptides, because the first two turns he managed to get one of them to fire, period. And when it did, it scattered off the table. That said, he completely just gangbuster beat my tail, and it was bad. I ended up killing like 260 points, something like that. He killed close to 1,000 and just completely rolled me 20-0.
Oh, wow. I mean, I know he's probably going to be listening, but how was he as an opponent?
Oh, he's great. He's actually this is the second time I've played Andrew. I played him at the Chattanooga Classic.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about the Chattanooga Classic. Yep. I need to get that thing going back up again.
Yeah, it was fun. That was a lot of fun, and I would love to see them do that again. But Andrew's a great opponent. He's just a lot of fun to play with. He's very relaxed as far as playing. But he's a very good player. He's the type of player that you would expect if you were playing him this is how I would describe it. It's like he's there to have fun, and the fact that he just happens to be better than you is secondary.
Fair enough. Did y'all have any kind of issues with the mirror match about keeping track of who shot and you know, who's got a, you know, who's been targeted or anything like that? I mean, is there anything that in a mirror match happens that you have to worry about with Tau?
Well, the aspect of it that's easy is that overall the because we both played the same army, we knew what each other did. We didn't have to sit there and explain some of the weirdness that normally occurs, and especially right. Like some of the fact rulings that weren't not what I necessarily expected at times. But right. We had both read it, and we both weren't surprised by it. Specifically, when my Riptide charged his Riptide, and then I got overwatched by all his weapons, we both expected that to happen. So.
Right, yeah, that's one of those FAQ things where you can't tell which way you want to go, but you know, one way or the other. Did y'all talk about that at all, or was it just kind of par for the course?
Oh no, we were pretty happy about everything. The biggest issue in our game came at the very, very end of the game after he had already beat me, when we were actually trying to figure out how to enter everything.
Okay. Now it's after the first round.
Yeah. And it had nothing to do with the actual play. We were a little confused on the actual data entry. After the first game, that was a whole lot better. It was very easy after the first game. But the first one, we weren't sure what was right. going
on. So. Yeah, we did that practice round. We can kind of go into that a little bit. We went to that practice round at Excelsior to try to test out Torrent of Fire. And, I gave Chip a lot of feedback and we had a lot of questions. You know, I know Steven didn't like it at all, still doesn't like it, but, what I should have done, and I think what maybe, I don't know if other events are doing this or if Chip encourages it, is to have kind of like a little powwow that explains that, hey guys, you know, we only really need battle points and we need to know who won and lost the game. You know, the rest of it is truly, you know, statistical data. You know, you're not, because if you'll remember, none of the other data is used that I'm aware of to do pairings. So that in itself is all statistical data, which is not typically what you see when you fill out a score sheet. Usually you're filling out the score sheet because the TO needs to know that in order to continue the tournament. But not beyond that, a lot of people weren't registered. Some people didn't have their player numbers. That part I knew was going to happen. So, you know, we had the score sheets, to kind of help mitigate that. But even that was a little confusing to people. So,
yeah, I mean, that definitely made for that part made for an interesting time, to say the least.
Yeah, between you know, people not understanding how to enter in things, or it wasn't intuitive, you know, and this is not this particular score sheet's first rodeo. You know, they used it at Nova that same weekend. They were using it, I'm assuming, the same one at Feast of Blades and Battle for Salvation. You know, there's been plenty of other events of all different sizes, really, using it. So I don't know if it's – I don't think it's just us. Maybe the only thing I can think of is that they've all had some sort of introductory, you know, explanation of what they're looking at, you know, and I don't know how, yeah. You know, that's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, you know, there's 40 of us. We're not all idiots. So, if it's not intuitive, it's not intuitive. So
yeah. I think that it would be greatly benefited by a little like 5-minute video that tells you how to enter things. But
yeah, you know, that's something that I could have spent time on, and you know, I'll take credit for that, for not doing that, because you know, our concern was getting done on Sunday and getting done on Saturday. So you know, when the venue opens up at 9, you know, we got 9:30 start time. Do you really have 30 minutes to, you know, to spend on that? So I don't. That may be, you know, my own, what do you want to call it, time management.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, overall, the first round was a little rough as far as getting people to get their scores in. After, and then, you know, going into the second round is when we had the hiccup where, I think Andrew Ford found out that, actually one of the top players of the whole tournament, had two identities. So, you know, and
he's a mystery man.
Yeah. Well, he was like, I can't, you know, we couldn't figure out what the problem was. And I was like, well, what's your email address? And that was right. And then, so I'm like, well, I don't know. He says, well, I was at Nova. And I was like, oh crap. You were at Nova, you know, the Nova Open. And as soon as he said that, I was like, you have two identities. That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something that we had, you know, Chip and I had talked about. I said, hey, have you figured out how to merge people? You know, because I'm sure there's 20 different versions of me in their database, because I made them purposely to try to see what would happen, you know, before I start using something. You know, I wanted to test it out, try to break it. So, but so hopefully Andrew, and you know, I haven't heard anything back from that, but hopefully
you broke it.
Yeah. But so what happened was Andrew's game was battle points correct, but win loss incorrect. Okay, and we couldn't get it to save correctly. And I can't remember what happened, but we ended up losing. I say I didn't lose anything at all, but when we started trying to pair people, like manually pair them, it kind of froze up on us. And it's funny, what's presented to you on a web page is not always what's there. So, you know, where it can be a quick and easy fix, you're not aware of it. But, you know, I called up Chip, or, you know, we figured it out, and, he, you know, he answered really quick. He was super helpful the whole time. So, you know, it's baby steps. They're constantly changing it all the time. They're constantly trying to improve it. So I have high hopes for it in the future, but, it was rough. It was rough when everybody's staring at you, you know? So that would be my question to you is, was the perception from the player perspective, how was that while I was sitting there freaking out?
Well, I think, at least for me, but I do think for a lot of people, they knew that Torrent of Fire was fairly new. and that there was the distinct possibility that there could be issues with it. And that I think people were disappointed in trying to figure that it wasn't intuitive as far as the data entry itself. And I think that they were kind of sad that it didn't just pop out the pairings like it felt like it should have.
Right, right. The and you look back at it and it's just, if you don't tell them, like, you need a separate stat section or something. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways you can do it. I'm sure that those guys get a million different ideas anytime they ask one person. So I know I've given Chip my own ideas and thoughts on it and whatnot. But yeah, it's not, you know, when everybody, and I don't know what it is, but you know, when more than one person or even, you know, more than half are going, how do we do this? You know, that's something you got to go look at and hopefully improve upon. So, but I think,
and
you know,
I will say this, I'm still hopeful for Torrentifier. I think it'll work well. And I've actually, you know, paid for a subscription to it. So I'm really kind of behind this. Like, I really want it to take off and do well. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. That's, you know, I am as well a subscriber. And, you know, that's the kind of thing where you just have to, you know, you have to work with everybody, work with Chip and Torrentifier and all those guys and try to keep improving and give them feedback, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, one of the things was, I don't know if we can go into that right now, but was I was telling Chip, and I think some of you were saying this too, is that the value of the data input, right? If it needs to be set up, and I don't know how they're going to do this because you can't change it for every single tournament, but when you look at a score sheet, it needs to be the stuff that's required to be put in. Right. Because yes, gamers are lazy. They just are. They're just lazy. As soon as they figured out that they didn't have to put in the victory points, they stopped doing it. You know, guys, if they got frustrated, they would stop. They wouldn't put in quarters or objectives, you know, what do you do? 40 people, you know, sure. Maybe I could have gone back and be like, look, how many quarters did you get? How many objectives did you get? But if you got 200 something people, you can't. How do you regulate that? You know, are they going around and asking them and saying, hey, please put this stuff in?
Well,
I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've asked that question.
One of the things that I would like to see, and this is kind of getting off the Redstone Rumble topic, but just in general with Torrentifier, is I would love to be able to enter my list ahead of time and just check box what's killed and have it do the victory points for me.
Yeah, that's something that I think they're possibly going to go to, because when you're a TO and you're setting up an event, there's an option for, I think, uploading the list or something like that, but that's all in the future. So that'll be something fun that's going to be way challenging to do, and how they do that statistically and how they try to figure that out. You know, that's the other thing you mentioned too, was having a win percentage. Is that what you were saying at one point, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Win percentage is easy, though. I mean, that's just something I like to see, but that's not an issue for finding. So,
yeah. Yeah. But they had – but it was really neat. I think a lot of – I think everybody but maybe two people, right, used it, or at least had an opponent that could use it.
Yeah.
On every single game. So that was – that gives you an idea of what kind of smartphone – you know, accessibility people have.
Well, and on top of that, I will say being able to enter it and not have to walk up to the front and drop it off was huge for me, because I entered it and then I went and found someone to go talk to, or I went and chatted with my buddy, or I chatted with my opponent. I didn't feel rushed to, oh, I've got to write this down. Now I got to get up to the front. And getting it to the front there wasn't an issue, wouldn't have been an issue at the Rumble. But I will state that you did make the comment to me at the end of the first day. It's like, Dan, I haven't even seen you today.
Yeah, that's true. I was like, I think this is the first time I've seen you. Yeah, that is really convenient too. It's not having to. Plus, you mentioned, you know, going talking to people. You know, one of my complaints for myself and you've heard me say this in the past, is, you know, when I've got 180 boys to pack up, you know, want to enter in that score sheet, walk it up there, you know, depending, again, it might be minimal aggravation, but it's one less thing you have to worry about. So I can start packing up my models and getting ready for the next round.
I mean, I hit the submit button. I knew I was done. I didn't have to do anything else.
Right. And you had some confidence too, that you knew at least what you submitted would be looked at and analyzed with what your opponent may have submitted, assuming that they did it too. Yeah. So, but you know, Chip gave us, sent me some Torn of Fire tokens to give out that he had at the Nova Open. I appreciate that. We handed those out for like super users, people who really, you know, helped other people set theirs up and, you know, had theirs submitted. And we're kind of helping me out with that. So I gave those coins out.
Well, now I understand why I didn't get one.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to, unfortunately, I try to give it to people who don't know me or aren't local. So there's no hint and bias. So, but no, that was, so we had a couple hiccups. That happened, I think twice were two concerns. Who'd you play in your second round?
My second round was against Kip Perkins.
Okay.
And, that was actually funny because that's where the hiccup originally came in to the software. And I initially thought that I had been paired against Chase Perkins, who is Kip's son. And who was playing Tau. So I thought I was going to be playing straight back-to-back Tau mirror matches. And then I managed to, since I was the dead last in the tournament at this point, I will point out, I managed to be on the very bottom table, and I ended up playing Kip, who is a great person to play against. One of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Unfortunately for Kip, he was playing Dark Angels, and it was like a mixed Dark Angels. And I have played that against that several times, and it was close right up until the end, and then my firepower overtook him. So.
Oh yeah, well he was part of the double son trio, this father son double we had, I think, because we had Kip Perkins and Chase Perkins, and then we had Andy Atkins and Matthew Atkins as well. So that was kind of neat because I know Kip came last year, and Chase didn't get to come because I think a soccer game, I think is what it was, but this year everybody made it out. So that was kind of neat to have father son duos there. But yeah, Kip is super, super nice. I got to catch up with him and Andy outside the hotel. We kind of chatted it up a little bit, but yeah, the second round, I think, is when we had people go to their tables, or maybe, I don't know how many actually did. And then I was telling Will, I was like, just tell him to stop, you know, just tell him to stop moving. I'm not going to have to chase down. I didn't want to have chase down who played who, you know, throughout the whole tournament. And I was like, let's fix this now. If it delays it, it delays it. Let's fix it now. And so he got on the microphone and kind of told everybody to hold up. Because I wanted to, if we're going to do it right, let's do it right. Let's fix it, figure out what the problem is, and can move on. But, you know, we didn't have any other problems until Sunday when it kind of it did sort of the same kind of problem where if you try to manually pair, then it kind of breaks a little bit on you. But I mean, it's, all the data is still there. We never lost data integrity, not at any point in time. But it was just a little bit of hiccup with I think it's how the pairings. It may just be the middle. We're in the middle range of players. You know, it may be the win-loss path that Nova does, and it creates so many different brackets that it fights with itself. But I'm not sure. But I mean, overall, that's the only thing. I mean, it may seem like it seems like a lot, and it does. It'll stress you out as far as the TEO goes because you're dependent on that. You know, it's not just a statistic. It's not just a statistical data you're trying to do, but you're trying to run your tournament with it too. This is not something that you post later or provide it to Torn of Fire later. They're grabbing it right then. So that's why that's really, really vital that it works well and you don't have any kind of major delays. But We had what, a 10-minute delay, I think.
Well, I don't know, and because I don't know how long the actual delay was, but I do know that, I mean, it happened, but the main thing, and kind of worked out nice, is after the first round, and I don't know if you had intended it to work this way, but having the lunch break in there as well kind of made it where it was less stressful trying to get back to the game.
Right. And so it kind of distracted you a little bit too. So yeah, we had the first round and lunch, which, by the way, lunch.
Yeah, that was great. I will say, I think that might have been my favorite thing about the Redstone Rumble.
It wasn't Kip. Oh my God. Or Andrew.
Great opponents, but having lunch provided, oh, that was amazing. It came out of the fees that we paid for, like, up front. But the fact that it came out of the fees we paid for up front, I was like, oh, my goodness, I have so much extra money now.
Yeah, because that's the perception of it for sure. But Happy Tummy was on location. I mean, literally, like, on the other side of the wall of the venue. And so Catherine there was awesome. She helped us out a lot. I thought that lunch was just going to be brutal. We didn't really have it planned out. We'd like, okay, we know we ordered food. We know she's right there. She's going to put it in boxes. You know, how are we going to distribute it? And maybe I'm just overthinking it, but, you know, we had a flatbed cart. We had put all the boxes on and pulled out the no mayos, set those aside. I had my laptop over there. I knew exactly who's getting what. And it just went smooth as far as I could tell. I mean, I hadn't heard any complaints about the food itself or
the distribution. My only complaint about the food is that it was different than what I was expecting when I ordered it. But that said, it's not that the food was bad. It's just it was different. I wasn't like it was really good. It was really good. I really enjoyed what I had. But
I could see that. I could see that where you're ordering it and you're going, you know, you have something in your mind already, but not know what to expect. And then because it was kind of all their options are very unique, kind of a healthy aspect to them. So.
Exactly. And I actually appreciate a lot that it was a healthy food as well. I'm not the skinniest guy, and I've been trying to move more towards being healthy, and having the healthy option is always a nice thing.
Yeah. We had water for everybody. We had drinks. You know, the Foundry was given proceeds for the snacks and drink sales to the Marshall County Special Olympics. That was pretty cool. The food went well, even went well on Sunday. We had Jet's Pizza, which everybody loved. You know, we ordered like, I think it was like 300 slices of deep dish, awesome pizza. It was delicious. So,
yeah. My wife and I managed to eat on that for like another day and a half after the tournament. So,
I don't know if you want to do that though.
It's at that point, it's already paid for. So, we have to. Right. It is required. So
it's reheat, baby, reheat.
No, and I will say too, with the location being where it was, there was actually a place outside that was serving food, and Mike Byram, who he went outside and actually bought a portobello sandwich from there, and oh my goodness, I'm not a vegetarian by any means. I wanted to steal his sandwich and eat it.
Oh, wow.
So it was the most delicious looking sandwich I have ever seen. And it smelled great. And
yeah, I can't remember that guy's name that's out there. Something the chef, I think, is what it is. I can't remember what it, but.
And so, I mean, it's great to have good food options around. And if you didn't want any of that, we're still in Huntsville, and it's not like we're out in the middle of nowhere. So there was definitely, you could run, you know, you could go less than a mile and be at many different fast food places or whatever. So that was, if you didn't want what was there, you had options, which is always good.
Yeah. I mean, you could have ordered something else from Happy Tummy if you wanted. I mean, they had other items. I had a whole bunch of other items, one of which was a fried tortilla Reese's cup goodness. Oh my God, like heaven in your mouth. Heaven in your mouth.
What I'm going to say is that sounds disgusting, Jeff. I don't ever want to hear that again.
Yeah, there's a reason for that, isn't there?
Yeah, well, just because I'm allergic to chocolate doesn't mean that...
I could never be allergic to chocolate. I'd just die.
Continue taunting me, sir.
No, but they had a McDonald's and Arby's just right down the street. So if you didn't, you know, we had some people that just opted out. They were like, "Eh, I'll go find something on my own." But it was BYOB. I didn't see a lot of drinking though. Yep. You know, Carter did have like a fifth of tequila on his table the whole time.
Yes, yes. I didn't know that it was Carter that had that. I just saw one floating around that was.
I'm pretty sure it was Carter Leach you had. I don't know. He may be mad at me if he finds out it was way more than a fifth, but.
Well, he I don't know that it was tequila.
It wasn't tequila.
I saw whiskey.
It was whiskey. I told you how much I drank.
I saw Jack Daniel's honey.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was Jack. I'm sorry, Carter. Yeah. If you listen to this, it was some Jack. But it was a large bottle. Because I think Will came over and he was upset about something. And I think Carter was like, "Here, you need to drink this now," or something like that. But,
well, and then so transition from the going on into the last round. So I had played Kip there and that went well. But the transition from round two to round three was smooth. Like I didn't.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was really, really smooth.
I didn't notice anything at all. Like, it just kind of happened. I was like, okay, I got an opponent, and we go. And this time I played Daniel, and I can't remember his last name. I think
Doyle.
Are you sure it was Doyle?
Yep.
Okay. Anyways, I played him and his Raven Guard army. It was very different. I did not expect this out of a Space Marine, like the build out of the Space Marine army. It wasn't bad. I was impressed because I don't know if you've listened online, but Raven Guard have kind of gotten the, like of all the different chapter tactics, it's the one that everyone kind of looks down on.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and he made very good use of the chapter tactics, and I was actually very impressed. It was very close right up until the end again. I ended up pulling out a 17-3 win in that one.
Oh, wow, okay.
But he wasn't quite done painting his army, but overall it was very nicely painted. I was impressed.
Yeah, he did a really good job with the black on it, because sometimes black can come off just as kind of bland, but he did a pretty good job with it too.
And then that ended up the evening. And then of course we had to, after we were finally able to drag you out of the venue.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny because they were like, "Where's Jeff going?" or whatever. And I was told Steve to go back in and tell him that it doesn't matter where Jeff's going, because he's out of the building.
I was actually standing outside and Jeff comes walking out and I'm like, "Sorry, hun, I got to let you go." I was talking on the phone to my wife. I'm like, "I got to let you go." And just hung up on her. I'm like,
yeah, Jeff's on the move. He's usually talking to everyone. He can never leave.
I was so hungry. So I was quite happy to be going. And
yeah. Will's like, "Where y'all going?" "I'm driving." And then tell Steven. I was like, "Go back in there and tell him. See, it doesn't matter if you're driving or not. Jeff's out of the building."
And you just like started walking off like we were headed out the gate. And I'm like, "Well, Jeff's going. I'm just going to walk with him."
Yeah, we were gonna walk. I don't know where we were walking to, but Will's like, "My truck's over here."
My assumption was Outback until proven otherwise. And I wasn't proven otherwise, so.
Yeah. We could have made it.
Eventually.
We could have made it. Yeah, but we had a lot of fun. The later on rounds went a lot smoother, because when I got done in the system, the Torrent of Fire system, when you complete the round, it's important to like ask people and say, "Hey guys, check your make sure you've entered it in correctly. you know, this is your last chance. Speak now or suffer your next pairing kind of deal, you know? But that, you know, going back, you know, I don't want to turn this into some sort of negative Nancy kind of deal, but you know, they're constantly updating and changing and making it better because, you know, when we did that practice round, you couldn't go back and change anything, but now you can. Now you can go reprocess and reload the pairings. You know, you can go back to a previous round and change a number and have it affect the round that you're on. I mean, all that kind of stuff is super hard to do in coding land. And so those guys are constantly trying to renew and refresh and improve. So, but it was pretty impressive. But the rest of the time went pretty well. We had only one other hiccup right before the fifth round. But, you know, again, Chip, I called up Chip, texting him, calling him on a Sunday, you know, saying, hey, man, help me out, you know, and he did. So it's pretty, well, very impressive.
Yeah. And Sunday kicking it off, that went pretty well. It felt smooth getting it started. I don't know if that was true on your end.
Yeah, we had to do for some reason, if you refresh the pairings, it'll try to pair people who have played each other sometimes. And I don't know if everybody else has this experience. It's what I experienced. So you got to be aware of that. But I'm sure that they're going to look into that and figure out what's going on there. Who did you play on your third round on Saturday?
Third round on Saturday was Daniel Doyle.
Who was your – you played – oh, you played Andrew, you played Kip, and you played Daniel.
Right.
I got you. Who'd you play on Sunday?
First game of the day was against Paul Applebaum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huntsville local guy.
Yeah. And we were playing he was playing Necrons. And it was kind of I would call it a foot-based Necron list. He had a Doomsai, a single annihilation barge, and had one of the big walkers.
Yeah, he had the Triarch.
Yeah.
The Triarch Stalker. Yeah. I remember seeing his list. He signed up, I think, the Monday before the event, and kind of got his list in a little, you know, I think it was Wednesday or what. I remember looking at his list, but he was asking about Forge World. For some reason, couldn't gather that Forge World rules were not allowed, but I think apparently he got that figured out.
So, well, I mean, he wasn't running any Forge World, so.
Yeah. I've tried to.
And he had Enrakir as well. That was his HQ, his warlord. And we ended up, we played a very, very close game. I snuck out 13-7 on that one, so.
Yeah, we had, and I'll cover this too, because you had a couple of rules questions in your game. One of them was, can you move through your own models? And, you know, Will was like, he's like, no, you can't move through your own models. And then, you know, but it's not actually in the rule book. It's in the FAQ now. But Sean and I were talking later on, and he said that you can't move through your own models, even if it's in the same unit.
That is true. Right? That is true.
And for some reason, I don't know if this is a brain fart or something, but I was like, no, you can move through your own. You can shoot through your own guys. Surely you can move through your own guys of the same unit. And I went back and looked at it, and apparently it was just a brain fart, just being silly. But, you know, I looked at the FAQ, and I was like, nope, pretty clear.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so some people may or may not. I know that came up in Gadsden, too. People were trying to move through their own models and whatnot. But no, there's – you got to get them out of the way. Now, I mean, if you're playing orcs or whatever, they're all the same, most likely. It may not matter. So, you know, it's only going to come up when it does matter.
Well, and as Paul said, he plays Flames of War as well. And, yeah, and in Flames of War, your guys can move through your own units because – yeah. So,
sure,
I mean, it was a –
a rules transfer deal.
Yep. So, just, you know, I make rules mistakes myself, so I didn't worry too much about it.
Yeah. I just remember that one specifically because, you know, it's one of the ones that was actually left out of the rule book.
Yeah.
Which is strange because 5th edition wasn't it. But yeah, so who'd you – then we had lunch at Jet Pizza.
Yeah, I had Jet Pizza, which was really good.
Yeah, they were awesome. I think I gave one of those guys a heart attack because on Saturday I had called to confirm the toppings. And, you know, talked to a guy named Charles who was awesome. And he was saying, we don't have the dough for that ready. Now, apparently they pre-make their dough, which, you know, I've never done pizza. So apparently you have to pre-make it. And so I told him, I was like, I need 20 extra large pizzas. And he was like, we can't do that. We only have enough for, you know, whatever. I was like, well, you know, I've kind of told you guys about this for about, I think it was a week or 2 weeks, you know, and he was like, we don't know anything about it. And then I was like, well, tell me what you got. And so he told me what he had. And I went back inside and figured out how many slices, you know, based off of what he told me I could get. And so I called him back up and I said, okay, so I think I need this. Then, you know, I told him all the numbers. He's like, okay. He's like, well, you know, when do you need this by? And I was like, tomorrow at 12. And he was like, oh my God. Okay. Oh God. he was hyperventilating because he thought it was for today, for that Saturday. And I was like, no, Charles. I said, Charles, do I need to call you back? Give you 5 minutes to breathe. It's like, no, buddy, we don't need 20 extra large pizzas now. I need them for tomorrow. He's like, okay, well, we can do that. It was, I guess you kind of had to be there, but it was pretty funny. But,
well, as Stephen, Killian put it, he said, you know, I would have never believed how many people would actually call and ask for like 20 extra large pizzas on the day of, until I worked in fast food. And then I'm like, yeah, that I understand why he thought that way.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Hey, we forgot to order this thing, you know? Like, no, I had called you guys. I told them earlier that I needed 10 party platters or whatever it's called. And it was like, you sure you need 10? I was like, I know I need 10. I don't know what the toppings are. And so that's what kind of aggravated me at first. But then I realized that they thought it was for today or for that Saturday. Yeah. So that went well. What was your fifth round
was against Nick Helms, who's also from Tuscaloosa. And it was very close because we have played that game multiple times against each other. And so we kind of knew how it was going to go down. So I tried a different strategy that almost paid off real big for me and then failed miserably. So
what was the – he was playing Eldar?
He was playing – he plays a Eldar Wraith list. He has a Wraith Knight, a whole bunch of Spirit Seers, a big unit of Wraith Guard, a couple of Wave Serpents with – one of them actually goes with the Wraith Guard, but they can't fit in it. And the other one goes has like a small unit of Guardians – or has a unit of Guardians. And then I think he also has some Shadow Weavers and then Jet Bikes and, you know, normal Eldar shenanigans.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what, how did your, cause that's like that's a power list versus a power list, right?
Yeah. The issue that I always have is that, he does run Eldrad in there. And so I need to just go ahead and take first turn because if I try to respond to his deployment, I don't, he can use Eldrad's abilities to kind of get away from that, with his warlord trait, I think it is. But if I go first, then I don't know where he's going to be deploying. So I end up deploying kind of out of position a little bit. I set up my broadsides to one end. And this is where I will kind of hit you with the my complaint. This was our very first pitched battle deployment. Was in the fifth game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. You know, that's one of the things we do on the survey, too, is ask him. You know, so many questions I want to ask and see if, you know, hey, did you guys like the missions? You know, which they can't be too unpopular. I mean, some people just show up at tournaments because they want to show up at tournaments for all kinds of reasons, besides what kind of missions they were. But I didn't understand that either. The two hammered anvils, two vanguards, and a pitched battle, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, two hammered anvils, two vanguards, and then one, just one pitched battle for the setups that we had, which I was okay with the missions outside of that. I just needed a break from, I have a personal hatred of Vanguard. So
Yeah, they that's another, that's the next podcast. Dan's hatred for Vanguard. Yeah. They were, you know, the Nova Open, they were the Nova Invitational missions. So we had, cause we had five rounds and, you know, Mike had said, hey, just use those. And I was like, hey, that works out great. I had mixed results on the missions. Some people said they loved them. Some people said that they were hard to score. And it might just be experience based.
Well, the issue that's hard to score is figuring out table quarters the way that it's, it's not that hard when you find out what it actually is, but they have very, the rules description is extremely long, and most people, when they see rules descriptions as long as that, their face just kind of glosses over, or their eyes gloss over, and they're done. So I don't think my opponents or I ever correctly scored a quarters thing, but that's okay.
Really?
Yeah. I'm 99% sure. But that said, when I say that, I don't think that we necessarily incorrectly scored it. It's just that we didn't go out of our way to try and correctly score it.
Right. I mean, I think it was I don't know if I even remember now. It's scoring plus denial minus your opponent's scoring. Is that what it was?
No, it's your scoring. Well, it's you're scoring a denial units minus everything your opponent has in the quarter.
Okay.
Yeah. So stuff like vehicles doesn't count for you to hold a quarter, but it does count for making sure your opponent can't hold a quarter.
I got you. Yeah. Yeah. That would be kind of tough to, if you've not done that before or practiced it.
Yeah.
Something to pick up on.
And as I said, I don't think it really played into very much with mine.
But yeah, we had, so your fifth round was against Nick. And at that point we had, Andrew Ford on the top table for like the last three rounds. He ended up playing Sean with Dark Angel somehow beat Necrons. Sean's a really good player, but you know, if somebody's gonna give him a hard time, I believe it was Necrons. I'm not sure. I'll have to get with Sean later, let him explain how he took down the Flyers. But you know, and then it ended up being, you know, Andrew that tied him on battle points too, which is so annoying, so aggravating. Like, you guys couldn't just work that out. You know, I think they had 86 battle points.
It worked itself out, Jeff.
Yeah. But I think, you know, we did the tallying. We had some people come up, which I thought David had a really good idea about having people that are from different areas come up and talk about their events and encourage people to come out.
Yeah, it definitely made for a good way to fill the time in between, even though I was busy packing up terrain, so I have no idea what anyone said.
Yeah, you guys hit the ground running. So, you know, we had those front two tables that were on, what do you call them, sawhorses, so we could break those down pretty fast and had an open area to give out awards. I had a lot of people say that they really liked how we went from 40K to fantasy to 40K to fantasy kind of on the awards. Yeah. They like that a lot. Well, so
it was, I mean, I was happy to see what the fantasy guys did. I mean, you know, I mean, and I will say this, your award show was not ridiculously long either. And that's important. Like, you don't want to just take forever giving out awards, but you want to make sure you recognize everyone.
Right. And you want to, you know, you give little baby stories for every single thing you give away, but you know, the longest one, I think, was
but that was understandable because of
But yeah, it was overall, I thought it was great. I know I'm forgetting something to thank somebody. Thank Will and David Reed for running it and helping out, and the Mobley brothers helping out. I thank you
for Steven, being your general
for
yeah, whatever we are.
Yeah, beat sticks. Yeah. If I could have done it, if I do it again, I would attract all the stats with my spreadsheet and probably still use Tornifier, but I would attract it with my own kind of crazy spreadsheet. You've seen that thing before. I can tell you what the percentage of games were won by First Blood, that kind of stuff, you know, which is always fun because you're a statistical guy too, and I am too. That's the kind of stuff we like to see. Would attract it that way. Yeah. I probably would have had,
you know,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, so I probably would have had you or Steven not play because I needed somebody else. I needed one other person that knows the way we like to run things. And it could have just done whatever extra stuff, even helped me do painting a second time. Because I did not have time to do the painting. So that kind of got, it didn't get the attention that it needed. So I like the way the Nova does their painting system. I like that a lot. We just didn't have, I didn't plan for enough people to help with it. So, but you know, anytime you pull one of you two guys out, or even Will too, you know, I'm pulling out really good players that are probably should be playing. So. Except for you, Dan.
Except for, hey, I will have you know, Jeff, I lost to your best overall and your battle master for my two losses on the weekend. So I have no shame in my placement.
Yeah, I was impressed with Bentley.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, this is my first tournament. And I was over there at Excelsior telling him, I was like, look, man, you know, if you have any problems or your opponents, you know, maybe you're slow because you're new. I don't know. Because, I said, but if you have any problems, let me know with your opponents. You know, I'll come over there and, you know, see if I can help. And, but he didn't, I don't think he had any problems, and he ended up getting best Space Marine. So
yeah, I was definitely the loser from Tuscaloosa because, four guys came from Tuscaloosa and three of them walked home with, best stub medals in their army. One of those was Nick, who also got Battlemaster. The other was Bentley, who went 4-1 with Space Marines. And then Steven got best Beastman in a fantasy. And so I was not the best Tau player, and I did not win anything else. So apparently I am the worst Tuscaloosa player of all GW games. And,
you didn't even get a random award.
Yeah, I didn't even get that. So.
But you got to help move tables and tabletoppers.
That I did. That I did. Stephen Brooks and I got the exact same awards. So there we go. Yeah. But, no. You know what? The award I got was that pizza that you let me take home.
That's right. Well, I mean, how many Space Marine players do we have? It's 7, right?
I don't know. I was trying to. I was actually. So you want to hear a complaint, and it's not about you. Unfortunately, it is about Torrent of Fire. And I'm not trying to harp here, but I just went to my ultimate weapon, right? And I tried to bring up our tournament, and oh no, it's I can't tell you a thing about it. Because according to this, we've had 36 games played by Space Marines. Considering it's a 5-round tournament, I know that's not right. And the fact it says that,
really?
Yeah. And the fact it currently says that 18 of those games were won and 18 were lost. And on top of this, all the armies are listed currently as having the exact same number of wins and losses as. So.
What?
Yeah. I'm not overly. I had planned to go on and grab some stats and. Was going to kind of throw them out there just for funsies, but I kind of can't do that right now. Sorry.
Space Marines in our tournament had 18 wins and 18 losses. That can't be right.
No, it's impossible, especially because, I mean, you can't.
We didn't play 36 games.
Yeah, you can't. Assuming that we had a number that makes sense to make, you know, 36, I seriously doubt that every single army won exactly 500% of its games.
Oh, I didn't even look at the rest of
them. Yeah, that's what it currently says, especially the Space Wolves, who, according to this, only played 4 games in a 5-round tournament.
I guess it's kind of strange that we're looking it up while we're on air here, but
yeah,
you're right. That's, oh, wait. Nope, that didn't change anything either. Well, that's disappointing.
So, but, I mean, as near as I can tell, the like results section still works just fine, and the leaderboard is still just fine. So you can figure it all out. It's all there available to you. It's just not in the handy-dandy format that I had hoped for.
Right. So. Yeah, that's – yeah, hopefully they get that worked out. I will say this. They did change the format of I think I just broke it.
I did notice one of the cool things that they have done is they've changed it so you can sort by what sort of missions were run. Like our tournament was a Nova ran Nova missions, so you can actually select Nova missions. Or if you want to look at the Feast of Blades stuff, there's an actual Feast of Blades mission set. Like you can sort by that now, which is nice. That's really awesome. I love that.
It looks if you click on one of theirs, it looks like they don't have any objectives or quarter data.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. So my assumption with that is that they were just told not to enter it. So.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what the deal is with that. But yeah, they definitely go check it out, Torrent of Fire. But yeah, I think that if I could do it again, I would have a little bit more help. There was a couple of things that I do, and you know me personally, but that I do ahead of time that I didn't do, and I regret it, and I don't need to go list all those. But, you know, like just as a small example, printing out gift certificates the day of. You know, usually I'm pretty good about taking care of all that kind of stuff ahead of time, but just little bitty things that annoy myself, you know, make my day a little bit easier. So
yeah, I mean, there's definitely – I'll say this, Jeff. There's definitely room for improvement at the Rumble, but – it overall was a good event. So, I mean, I think that there's room for improvement at every single event.
Yeah.
And as long as we're constantly moving towards that improvement, good shape.
Yeah, we did definitely, we pulled the Space Marine guys aside the first, before we started. And a lot of the guys wanted to know, they're like, why can't we listen too? And I was like, well, because it's a tactical thing. And if you know, you know, I just want to tell them how we're going to roll it. You know, it was the grab gun thing where the three things we told them, so people will know, they can either give us a hard time or not, was grab guns, you know, vehicles get cover saves. We don't need to go into detail. Maybe we cover that in a different segment.
I think that's probably a different segment thing. I mean, this is probably long enough as it is.
Yeah. You know, vehicles get cover saves. What was the other thing? Mixed armor values. Yep. For wounding, you know, we said, I think on the way up there, we realized there was a whole different section we hadn't thought about yet. You know, ethereals with a riptide is a six to wound, because they don't have an armor value. What was the other thing? Oh, immobilizations, you know, and I don't know, some of this is, I can see where it's contentious and some of it's can't, but we can go into that later. But the other thing was, immobilizations, if you're immobile, you're causing an extra hull point because you're immobilized again, and then you cause a hull point from the actual grav special rule. So just in case people want to know how we ruled that kind of thing. So, but those are the three, because of the newest book out, those are the three big things. So, but other than that, I don't, you know, I hope everybody had a good time. Get the survey out here, hopefully shortly. And we get some more anonymous feedback, and hopefully everybody wants to come next year. I hope it's at low meal. Don't know. We may end up going back on the base. You know, if the gate's not an issue, if the guard shack's not an issue. So we'll see where it goes. But do you have anything you wanted to add, Dan?
Just had a great time, Jeff, and can't wait to play in it again.
There's a little bit of hinting there. Okay. Well, I can't think of anything else, and I guess we'll say goodbye to everybody there. So
goodbye, everybody.
All right. Bye.
You can keep it rolling. Just cut this. I'm going to go pee.